Hi there, it's LaShonda Henry here, creator of Sister Sense, and you're listening to Copywriting Pro, my audio series designed to help you go from intro to pro so you can get better at copywriting and marketing sales Sister Sense style. So let me just tell you a little bit about me before we jump into our session. I am truly a social introvert. I've always considered myself to be more of a typer than a talker. So when it comes to selling online, I definitely had to do a lot of research, kind of stretch myself so that I can really give people a sense of what it is that I do. You know what? In a perfect world, you know, we could just put our products out there and have them sell. But in order for you to make a profit, you've got to create that perfect pitch to go with your perfect product. So that's definitely something that I've learned how to do. And I'm excited to share some of the recommendations that I have with you today as far as how you can become a copywriting pro too. Okay. So what we're going to do, I'm going to talk about some of the essentials as far as copywriting are concerned, the things that you absolutely need to do. You cannot create a good sales page without these recommendations. So we're going to touch on the essentials today. And then I'm going to talk about some of my favorite things as far as what you should do, what you shouldn't do, resources and recommendations, followed up by one killer strategy that if you can do this, you can start to emulate the copywriter pros that are online right now. So I'm definitely going to give you some awesome recommendations and then my killer tip that I want you to implement ASAP so you can start to boost those copywriting skills, okay? Now, of course, as you are going through this audio guide, if at any time you feel like, you know what, I think I could use a little bit more help with this, you're certainly welcome to inbox me, lhenry@sistersense.com, so we can talk a little bit more about what it is that you would like to do. But I certainly want to make sure that I'm giving you the best that I have as far as my strategies and solutions for copywriting in this course. So get ready. We're going to have a great time. All right, so let's jump in. The first thing I want us to do before we get into the awesome essentials and recommendations that I want to share is I want to talk about where the problem lies. When it comes to copy, it's a love-hate relationship, right? You know, you love the idea of putting your products out there. You love the idea of potentially making profit. But when it comes to copy, you hate the idea of sales or writing. I know for some people, those are definitely sour, sore spots. You know, I don't want to write. I don't want to be salesy. I just kind of want to put it out there. So what we have to do is realize that you're not just a creative being, but you're a seller. So we're going to have to take off the creative hat just for a little bit, put on the sales hat, but do it in a way that feels comfortable for you. So I want you to be comfortable talking about who you are, what you do, and all the awesomeness that you have created. I've been doing this for about 15 years online, and I can tell you honestly, in my experience working with a lot of women entrepreneurs, I'll find that people love to create, they love to share their passion and their purpose with the world, but a lot of people do not like to talk about themselves. They don't like to talk about the product. So again, one of the things that you've got to do is really get to the source of what your difficulty or your frustration is so that we can overcome it. Like I said, I would tell people all the time, you know, I'm a typer, not a talker, but I had to get over that. As an entrepreneur, I had to become the face of my business. So being shy was not an option. I had to get in front of the camera, get from behind the computer screen and work on those things that I was resistant to. Okay. So in the process of you getting better at creating copy, we want to be conscious of those things that you're resistant to, those things that you like, okay, whether it's, you know, I don't want to talk about myself or I don't really want to talk about pricing or I don't want to come off as too salesy. I don't want to freak people out with, you know, the amount that I'm trying to charge for this particular item. We want to put those issues at the forefront so we can address them, work, go past them, and power through. I always tell people, at the end of the day, your success is about powering through to your best you, and the same thing holds true with your copy. Okay. So think about that. Take an opportunity right now. Even you can do a power pause. You can pause this audio and just kind of reflect on real talk. What are some of the things that, you know, make you go, ooh, when it comes to copy, writing, talking about yourself, being salesy, the price of the product, you know, coming from a space of sometimes people will say, well, I can't write copy because I'm not an expert at this. I just know my product. At the end of the day, what I believe is true when it comes to writing copy really well is acknowledging that this is your product. Nobody knows it better than you. This is your baby. So if you want to effectively sell it and share it to people, you've got to get comfortable talking about it and talking in your own voice. We don't need other people to write your stuff for you. We want you to get comfortable about, again, talking about what it is that you have so that your voice, your personality, your genuine passion can come through in the material that you share on your sales page. Okay. So, all right, we're going to power through to your best you. One, acknowledge those things that may be causing you a little bit of resistance or difficulty with respect to copy. And then as you're going through that, I'm going to share with you some of my favorite solutions, the processes that I've gone through to really get a better sense of who I'm trying to reach and how I can talk to them via my website, via the web pages on which I sell my offers. Okay. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to go into the essentials. And for me, the biggest essential is having a compelling offer that speaks to a particular target person. Okay. Now I know people always say, you know, if you want to sell online, if you want to get traffic, you have to know your target audience. When it comes to selling a specific offer, I don't believe in target audiences. I believe that you are reaching a target person because at the end of the day, whatever offer it is that you're trying to sell, it's not going to appeal to everybody. So I want you to, number one, big do, big don't. I want you to resist the temptation of saying, well, LaShonda, I don't want to just target one person or one type of person. I want my product to appeal to everyone. It's not going to, okay? And you shouldn't want it to. I liken it to going to the supermarket and you go down the cereal aisle and you see that there are like 101 cereal boxes. Why? Because what appeals to one person doesn't appeal to the other. Maybe I want a brand cereal for health reasons. Maybe I want something gluten-free. Maybe I'm a five-year-old and I want the thing that has, you know, Monsters, Inc. or Disney or Spider-Man on the cover. At the end of the day, you cannot create something that's fundamentally going to appeal to everyone because if you try to reach everyone, you will ultimately reach no one. And at the end of the day, we want to make sure that your copy is effective. So I'm going to say that one more time. If you try to reach everyone, you will ultimately end up reaching no one, right? So we have to be specific about your target person so that each and every offer you create is going to resonate with that particular target person when they reach you. Now, keep in mind, I have a lot of different people that come to me over on Sister Sense at different levels of entrepreneurship. Some beginners, some intermediate, some people starting over. Some people have been in business 15 years versus 15 minutes. And at the end of the day, because I create different types of programs and trainings, I can meet them based on where they are. Okay. So again, we have to shift from this mindset of I'm going to create something that's going to appeal to everybody because that doesn't work. It makes it very difficult to create quality copy. Okay. So again, for me, the essential starts with having a very compelling offer. And to me, there's no better way to be compelling than really focusing on one person and one thing that they need. I have what I call my browser to buyer bootcamp series. I don't know if you've ever looked at that over at bootcamp.sistersense.com. And I talk about the conversion factor, what you need to do to convert browsers to buyers on your website. For me, it all starts with giving her one thing that she wants. Again, I can talk about a ton of things, 101 things as far as marketing, sales, technology, entrepreneurship, web, whatever. But at the end of the day, when I'm talking to my target audience, I only share one offer at a time, focused on one target person at a time. So let me give you a great example of this. I was working with a client very recently, and he, which is very funny, right? Because I actually have quite a few male clients, even though my business is targeted towards women entrepreneurs. So again, limiting and being specific doesn't necessarily deter people from you. Side note. But he has a fitness business, and we were going through some of his videos online. One of his videos, let's say, for example, he had a young man in his video he's been working with, and it said something like Paul's Transformation. So you could, the title of the video was Paul's Transformation, just to kind of give you an example of what the videos he had. If you clicked play, then you could see how he's been working with Paul and the different things that he's done to help Paul transform in his fitness. I said, okay, well, that's interesting, but it's not compelling. So as I was watching the video, I realized in Paul's transformation, he was actually able to lose about 17 pounds in a very short period of time. I'm going to say 2 weeks just because I'm trying to go back and remember the example. But it doesn't necessarily have to be 2 weeks. Again, I'm not giving you the exact of what was in the video, just to kind of give you a point of reference. So I said to him, you know what? It's so much more compelling to say, you know, how Paul lost 17 pounds in 2 weeks versus watch Paul's transformation, because I want to see that. You know, if I'm that person, that target person who wants to figure out how to lose weight, how to do it quickly, I want to know what Paul did in 2 weeks so I can emulate that. So for me, a compelling offer is directly related to the title of the copy that you put together, the title of the offer that you put together, because that's the first thing that people are going to hear and or see. Either you're going to tell them the name of the offer, or they're going to come to your sales page and see the name of the offer, but it's got to be compelling and your title has to reflect that. One of the things I tell people all the time is don't be cute, be concise. You know, be concise, be clear, so I can understand immediately what it is that you are trying to offer. So for example, one of my courses is my Brand Mag Bootcamp for anyone who's interested in creating a brand magazine. I could do a bootcamp and I could call it, you know, self-publishing and creating your own e-course. And self-publishing can be just about anything, right? I could talk about self-publishing a magazine, a children's book, a Kindle digital product. I can talk about creating an e-course, an audio series, a webinar training. But I specifically said brand magazine because it's going to speak to the person who is looking to self-publish their own magazine online. Okay. So it sifts through all the different types of people who potentially would want to create something, narrowing it down to that particular person, right? I'm not trying to be cute. I want to be clear. I want to be concise so that when I share it to my community and I said, you know what? I have the Brand Mag course. It's coming up. You can take a look on the website if you'd like to register. The person who says, oh my goodness, I've been meaning to create my own brand magazine, they're going to sign up. Okay. So one of the first things I want you to be conscious of with respect to writing copy is that you have to create compelling offers specific to a person with a very clear problem they're trying to solve. And that title is very, very important. At the end of the day, most times when people go to websites, I would say about 5 times more people read the title than the actual copy that is on the website, you know, especially people who are looking for, like, you know, the short of the story, you know, okay, well, this is what the offer is. This is who that person is. This is how much it costs. Okay, bam, I want it. You know, they're going to sift through the content. Not everybody. Some people are going to go through it with a fine tooth comb. But you'll find that 5 times more people are likely to just kind of hit and read the title and then, you know, kind of see from there if they're interested in going any further. So you want to make sure that title is clear and it resonates with your audience. So for example, even this particular audio series you're listening to right now, Copywriting Pro, I wasn't trying to be cute with the title. I wanted to make it concise, because if that's something that you're trying to work on, you're trying to work on your copy and become a pro with that, this is essentially a resource that is right for you, okay? So think about that. Right now, what I would love for you to do, because of course you're taking this audio guide as an opportunity for you to get better at writing copy, I want you to work with me on this, but look at a specific offer that you currently have a sales page for. So you can kind of go and look at that offer and compare it to what I'm saying right now. So look at your title, look at your offer. Is it compelling enough? Is it reaching a specific person? Now, you may say, okay, well, Ashonda, I don't have an offer yet because I do reach different kinds of people. Then as you are trying to frame an offer that you're looking to launch, I want you to be conscious of the recommendations that I'm giving you, okay? So if you do have a current offer or several offers, pick one as you're listening to this audio, take a look at it, compare it to see if you can reflect on, you know, how much of this you need to kind of modify to make it work better for you. But if you don't have any sales pages as of yet, just kind of go through the process of working on your pre-launch product and being mindful of the strategies and recommendations that I'm sharing with you here. Okay. So, you know, just kind of mirroring the different things that I've done here, ultimately at the end of the day, want to make sure that the first thing you do is work on your title, and work on the name that you give to your offer so that it's clear, it's concise, and compelling enough to get people at least motivated to want to know more. You want to be able to pique their interest, but in a way that makes sense, okay? So for example, one of my clients, we were doing a one-on-one clarity session, and we were talking about a training that she was putting together. And I said, okay, well, what's the topic? What's the offer? And she goes, well, okay, well, I want to do a training on social media marketing. And I said, okay, well, tell me a little bit more. And she goes, okay, well, I want to do a training on social media marketing 101. And I was like, oh God, you know, everybody wants to do an intro course called 101 because it's common, right? It's what we hear. I said, okay, well, we're going to change that title off the bat, but tell me a little bit more. So she says, okay, well, I want to focus on Facebook. And you know, a lot of times people have their businesses and they create Facebook pages, but they have difficulty coming up with content. So I said, hold the brakes. Your title is not Social Media 101. It's Facebook marketing, you know, how to create your content on your Facebook fan page. That's your title. That's going to speak to a particular person because guess what? There's a lot of content online. There's a lot of information online about social media 101. We're not interested in that, especially because there's so many social media platforms. We want you to reach the person who goes, man, I have a fan page or I have a group and I have no idea what to write on this page. We want to reach that person. Let's say, for example, you were talking about Facebook content versus Facebook ads versus starting your own Facebook community. There are so many different aspects of social media marketing specific on Facebook that you could talk about. But in order for you to get better at writing copy, you have to be very clear about your target person and the problem. Okay, so the problem for that person is that they have difficulty writing copy versus somebody else who maybe they're good at writing content on their Facebook page, but they don't know how to do Facebook ads versus somebody who's like, you know what, I want to build a community, but I don't know what to do to start my own group on Facebook. Each of these different types of people have different issues. Now, yes, you could create like a mega product and say, okay, I'm going to do, you know, a Facebook intensive and I'm going to talk about these core areas of Facebook. But I found in my experience, the more you can narrow down your topic and really isolate a particular target person with one issue, the better your results are because then people can clearly see themselves within your copy. One of the things that I've learned on my journey as an entrepreneur and somebody who sells quite a bit of digital content online is that confused buyers do not buy. So when somebody comes to your sales page, if they're confused about the offer, you know, what it entails, you know, you've got like some really great name, you know, how to spiritually elevate your mindset shift, whatever. And you've got all these awesome words in your title and you're trying to be as elaborate as possible. And they're kind of scratching their head like, you know, spiritual, whatever. I don't get it. You know, if you want to talk about, and I'm not trying to be silly, but, you know, just because I've seen it, you know, sometimes people kind of are overly wordy when it comes to their titles or they try to be very, very cute. You know, you can talk about something very specific, you know, okay, spiritual awakening. I'm going to give you 30 days of affirmations to help you get clear about, you know, loving yourself, self-love, or spiritual affirmations to help you get clear about having a better relationship with your spouse or with your child so that you can take that, you know, ambiguous title and make it in such a way that the person goes, yes, I'm trying to work out some issues with my son or my husband or whatever, or I'm trying to get a deeper spiritual connection between me and God. The clearer you are about who you're trying to reach and the issue that they have, that's the best way to start. Okay. So I want to, you know, I can't stretch that enough. I kind of wanted to kind of hammer that in there before I went any further, but that's definitely one of the first places for you to start. Okay. So the next thing I want to talk to you about after compelling copy, the next thing that we want to focus on outside of your title is your killer title, I should say, outside of creating a killer title that's concise, compelling, and clear. We want to talk about the essential elements on your sales page. Okay, so I'm assuming that you're going to create a sales page of some kind, you know, whether you have a landing page or you use some, you know, like something like lead pages or optimized press. More often than not, having a sales page is a good way to share information about what it is that you're trying to sell. You know, you'll find if you go on my site, SisterSense, for most of my products, you can just find them in my shop. But when I have a particular product that I'm really trying to push, it could be like a mastermind training or an online course or an upcoming workshop. In addition to having those products in my shop, I'll tend to have an individual sales page that I can send people to so as not to distract them by everything else that's on my website, right? So a very clear page they can go to and find out more about that particular item, that particular offer. So when it comes to sales pages, there are some essential elements that you will always see. It's kind of like one of those things that they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So when it comes to writing quality copy and effective sales pages, I'm going to talk about some of the essential elements that you will tend to see. One of the things I will say first is that long copy is always the way to go. I mean, you may go on websites and go, oh my God, they have so much text here. Oh, I hate this. But trust me, long copy is the way to go. The person who doesn't necessarily want to read all the copy will sift through the most pertinent information and then from there assess whether or not they want to buy. But at the end of the day, the more you tell, the more you will sell. Okay. Why? Because you're not sitting in front of the person. You're not physically in front of them. You're not talking to them. So your copy is going to do the talking for you. And if you kind of are brief and you don't really kind of go through essentially all the elements that I'm going to talk about here, then people are going to have questions. They're going to be confused. They're not really going to get a sense of what it is that you're offering. And they tend to walk away in those instances. So one, we want to make sure that you are creating long enough copy. And number two, just to kind of, as a caveat to segue, interject what I'm saying here. When you see, for me personally, if you want to do this SisterSense style, when you see that I've got a particular landing page and I don't necessarily have all of these elements, you'll notice that I'll have either some sort of video or audio to complement my copy because I want them to visually see it, or I want them to hear it via the video or the audio, whatever I don't say on the page. Okay. So again, you know, long copy is the way to go. If you're going to keep it shorter and then kind of take out some of these elements, you want to make sure that you're integrating either audio or video to make sure that you're not missing any opportunity to tell people exactly what it is that you're offering and how it can benefit them. Okay, so let's go into some of the essential elements of your sales page. Of course, you know, it starts with the title, as I mentioned before, you know, letting them know what's the name of that particular offer is. And then generally, you'll find that people tend to go into a series of questions that really address the offer, like the problem that's around that particular offer. Okay, so for example, with respect to writing copy, what are some problems, right? You know, are you somebody who's struggling to generate sales on your website? Because right now you're looking for a way to get better at writing sales copy. Do you hate to write? Do you hate to pitch? You know, do you have a landing page, but it's not working as well as you would like? So, you know, if you can say, raise your hand and say yes to these items, then listening to this audio series on copywriting is something that would be essential to you, right? So that's what you want to think about when you are looking at your offer. As soon as that person sees the title, what should come next is really a series of questions to find out if the problem you're trying to solve is the problem they currently have. You'll find a lot of times marketers and, you know, and sales sales gurus online, they'll talk about the pain points, because it's important. At the end of the day, as an entrepreneur, 9 times out of 10, we are trying to sell a product or a service that solves a particular problem. So you want to, at the very beginning of your copy, just bullet form, lay out some of the problems that particular person may be facing, so that they can immediately see, okay, well, yes, these are some of my issues. I want to get more information about whatever it is that you are trying to create. Okay. So, and that's the strategy that, you know, I use with just about everything. Not just me, you'll find that this is pretty standard with respect to copy, asking the person, you know, how many issues, and then you, as I'm saying this, I want you to kind of jot down for yourself, for your offer, what are the problems that people are currently having that would put them in a situation that they need your solution, and also just being conscious of the fact that you can ask them, you know, where are they now? Are they satisfied with their situation? Are they looking for a better solution? And if that's the case, again, then you have an opportunity to say, okay, well, if you need more, if you need something that's going to help you better, then here is my solution. Okay. So again, starting with the title, then going into questions, then sharing your solution, just letting them know, this is what I can offer you. And this is what I have prepared. So, ultimately, once you've laid out those questions, you go into the solution, just letting them know what you've offered and just kind of an overview. You don't have to go into the details yet. I'm going to talk about that in just a bit. But you can just kind of give them, a few bullets as far as what your solution is and what you'd like to talk about with them at that point. Okay. Now we'll go into more of the solution in just a second, but once you've just kind of given them the idea of, okay, well, if you have raised your hand and you said, these are your problems and you want to work with me, this is a solution that I have for you. Now, before I go into depth as far as what that solution is, let me tell you a little bit about me. So generally, you'll see people give a brief overview of what the solution is, and then they go into their personal story and credibility. Why? Because you're the expert, right? They want to know that you know what you say you know before they sign up and buy. So what makes you a credible expert in this instance? Let's say, for example, you are a relationship coach and you've created an amazing product that's going to help somebody find their perfect person. What qualifies you? Have you gone through an experience? Have you been in a loving marriage for 20 years? Are you in a position to say, I can tell you exactly what you need to date because I have done just about everything there is to do when it comes to dating, online sites. I've had, you know, I've done the, you did whatever, what do they call those? When you go and speed dating online websites, you know, the getting hooked up by family, friends, I've done just about all of it. So I can really give you a clear understanding of what you need to do in the dating process to find somebody that's going to be perfect for you, right? So you're going to talk about your credibility. Now, one of the things I said to you just a while ago, not too long ago in this audio, is that long copy is the better way to go because the more you tell, the more you sell. That's number one. When you get to a point in your copy that you start to talk about who you are and why you are credible, what's worth mentioning is this: facts tell, stories sell. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Facts tell, stories sell. So yes, you want to give them some facts about who you are and what you do. I'm LaShonda, aka Sister Sense. I've been doing this for 15 years. I have a degree in computer science. You know, you can tell them a little bit about who you are and how long you've been doing this. You know, I have accolades. I've been featured in Black Enterprise, Essence Magazine, The Network Journal, PBS. Okay, you don't necessarily have to give them the laundry list. You can just kind of pull out one or two things that you'd like to kind of feature just to give them a sense of your credibility factor. But at the end of the day, the facts tell, but really what sells is the story. The stories sells. So me telling you I shouldn't say I'm shy anymore, right? I'm doing all of these videos and audios and speaking, but I started off as a shy entrepreneur, a typer and not a talker. I was in a space where I wanted to be behind the computer. I just wanted to create the products and sell, but I realized in order for my products to sell well, I had to get comfortable. I had to get better at copy. I had to get better at sales. And now I generate everyday sales into my business. I bring in 4 to 5 figures every every single month, not just by selling my web design services, by selling digital content using sales pages and getting better at copy. See, the story is really more profound, more engaging, more interesting than the facts. Right? Yes, you want to put the facts in there because they absolutely are good for just giving people that credibility factor. I know what I know because I've been doing this for 15 years now. 99.9% of my business comes from the internet. I have a degree in computer science. These are all good, credible factors. But at the end of the day, people resonate with you because they go, oh my God, she knows exactly what I'm talking about because I'm a shy entrepreneur. I'm an introvert. I like to type. I don't like to talk. I don't want to be sales pitchy. So people will meet you where they are and they will find an interest in you based on who you say you are and how you position yourself to them. So, you know, for example, one of my fabulous ladies in my circle, Kim Coles, celebrity personality, Kim Coles. One of the first things that she said when we connected, on Facebook, which was really interesting when she reached out to me on Facebook. She said, you know what, I'm from Brooklyn too. And I also went to Brooklyn Technical High School. So we had that in common. You know, I connect with entrepreneurs all the time who they reach out to me and say, you know, I love the pictures of you and your boys, your hubby and your son. You know, I'm a mom. I'd love to be able to stay at home with my kids. I see that you're able to create that kind of a lifestyle for yourself. And I would love to talk to you because I see that you've done it and I want to be able to emulate the process, or I think you really understand where I'm coming from, because again, facts tell, stories sell. So some entrepreneurs and some shy entrepreneurs or women entrepreneurs who say, you know, I don't really want to be the face of the business. I want the business to sell for itself. I want the products to sell it. I don't want to really sell it. I want to be behind the scenes. I do understand that. But when it comes to creating the kind of copy that's going to help you sell like the pros sell, being in a space where you can comfortably come from behind the computer and share your story, it'll resonate more with people because they'll be able to pinpoint how they connect with you, how they can see their story and your story, and that goes a long way, right? So hence, one, me saying to you, long copy works because it's going to take a little bit more copy for you to share your story and let people know who you are and what you do, why you do it. But again, the more you tell, the more you sell. And yes, you do want to integrate facts, but facts tell, stories sell. So if you can put in a little bit of a story as far as what you've learned and how you've done it, that will help as well. Okay. So one of the things that I share when I speak, for example, or in some of my web sales pages, you'll see that I have a particular graphic that I've created. And sometimes you don't necessarily have to speak with a lot of long copy. You can do a graphic that kind of encompasses some of the things that you want to share. In this graphic, you may have seen it on some of my sales pages. There are several pictures of magazines I've been featured in, Ebony, Black Enterprise, Essence. There's a picture of me in Disney. I've worked with different media publications as a blogger and someone who works with media to help them to share their brands via my communities online. In that picture, I have photos of myself and my hubby and my son. You know, photos of I think I have either a picture of the car or the house, you know, just a combination of accolades, media brand associations, personal life accomplishments, so that in that picture, I can give you a snapshot. You know, they say pictures are worth 1,000 words. I can give you a snapshot of the things that I've been able to accomplish and achieve in my life, and why I'm in a position to share with you what I know, very much from that standpoint. So you can think about for yourself, in your copy, in your story, to some degree, how much you want to share, but you can have photos, right? Photos can share your story as well and resonate with your audience. So I talked about the copy thus far on your page, your title, some questions that really pull out the core problem that your offer is going to solve, an overview of your solution, just to kind of give people a sense of what you're going to talk about on the sales copy page, then give them a little bit about your credibility, and then talk about, then you can go into some more detail, the solution, right? So, you know, if I'm doing a webinar conference, the solution is the people that I have speaking at my event. So I'm going to break down all the different speakers, what they're going to be talking about. If I'm doing a workshop, the solution are the modules, right? So I'm going to break down the different modules I have in the workshop, how long it is, and what they're going to get out of each module. If the solution is, say, for example, here, this audio, then I'm going to break down what's inside the audio, right? So the different topics we're going to talk about today, the essentials of copy, the do's and don'ts, the resources, my killer recommendation to help you write copy like a pro. Those are the things that I'm going to detail in my section about what it is to get better at writing copy and what I'm going to be talking about, how this solution is framed out. Now, keep in mind, okay, when you're writing down your features, a couple of things you want to keep in mind. One, bullets good, block text bad, okay? Don't do too many block items because if it looks like a dissertation, people aren't going to want to read that. So I try to break up my content either by having maybe three columns with graphics. You know, if I have speakers, I'll organize my content in maybe three or four columns with graphics, or I'll do bullets because bullets are easier to read. I'll have a couple of short paragraphs, maybe three sentences, three to four at the most, but I break up those paragraphs with graphics and bullets, you know, because if it's straight bullets, I'm sorry, if it's straight paragraphs, it can be a lot intimidating for people. And it's like, oh God, I don't want to read all of this. So, you know, making sure that in between your paragraphs, you have bullets or photos. I love rich media. So you'll find that at the very beginning, you may see a one video, or you may see a link to listen to an audio, just so that rich media can complement what I have. That's something that I don't necessarily do for all things, but I will, depending upon the product, I'll integrate a video. Again, usually I'll do that if I don't feel like writing a lot of copy, but I want to make sure that it's clear what the offer is, what the solutions are, who I am, and how I can help that particular person with that specific problem. Okay. So, yes, you want to be clear about what exactly it is that you're offering. But as you talk about your features, you also want to touch on the benefits as well. Okay. So, you know, it's great. I'm so great. I've done all this stuff and I'm going to give you this, 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 this. And it's got all of these features. Features are great to share, but what people really want to know is the benefit, you know, what's in it for them, what's the end result. So when they're looking at your offer, you know, if I take this, what's going to happen, right? What am I going to get out of it? So I talked to you guys about, I'll give you an example. For example, my brand magazine bootcamp. One of the things that people ultimately get out of it is that they get my custom template so they can walk away with their own 20-page magazine created for a quarter of the price of other similar programs that help you create your own self-published magazine. So not only am I teaching you the process, but I'm giving you a template so you can walk away with your own magazine done, completed, done, and ready to rock. So you want to think about for yourself when you're creating some sort of copy, what are the benefits? Now, that's an actual physical benefit in that they can physically say they completed their product and they can see it. But you want to think about other things that you would potentially want to share, other things that they may be able to, benefits that they may be able to walk away from once they've participated in that particular, or participated in that particular offer, or signed up for the offer. What are the benefits? Okay. So let's say, for example, you're selling a physical product, right? Where you're, you know, okay, well, I'm selling this great skincare regimen, and you know, once you use my product, your skin will look 12 years younger. You know, I'll clear up all the dark spots. You'll see visible, you know, if you're a little bit older, you'll see visibly, noticeably diminished age lines within 2 to 3 weeks. Again, not just talking about the, you know, okay, well, this is all that you're going to get when you buy, but this is the benefit, right, to signing up and taking advantage either of my physical offer or my product. This is the benefit. This is what you're going to get out of that. Okay. So also something really important as well, at that point, sharing a little bit more as far as the solution and then the benefits. Of course, you'll notice at this point in most long copy pages, you will find praise. So, you know, on SisterSense, depending upon my page, there are times where I'll put, you know, what sisters are saying and then put some quotes as far as what people are saying about my particular product. Sometimes when I don't do that, I'll maybe put in a Facebook comment box, which I like as well. So it gives people an opportunity to on the page say, oh my God, this was such a great conference, or, you know, LaShonda gives great information. I love her. Definitely sign up. So whether I'm actually adding testimonials or just giving people an opportunity to integrate their comments via a Facebook comment box, those are two things that I tend to like to integrate in the praise section. So that again, you know, people, one of the things that motivates people to buy are happy customers. They want to see that other people have enjoyed what you have and want to and they want to be a part of that as well. So underneath praise, yes, you can put testimonials. If not, you can put a comment box. And then you can also just put reviews as well, or an option to post reviews so that people can send you information that you can then integrate into your page. Now, some of these elements are interchangeable. I can honestly tell you that I don't necessarily put testimonials on every page, but all of these elements are essential in that if you can include more of these elements than not, more tell, more sell. Okay, just as I said before with long copy, the more elements you include, the better your ability to reach different types of people who are coming. Some person might, you know, you might have that person who once they read your reviews or the testimonials, they were sold, versus the person who once they read your story, they were sold, versus the person who said, you know what, you had me at hello, you had me at the title. You know, once I saw your title, I was like, that's me. You know, this is exactly what I'm going through. These are my pain points. I want to buy, right? So again, the more of these elements you have, the more you have opportunities to reach different types of people, because everybody's going to find one thing resonates with them more than the other, okay? That's just how it goes. So thus far as essential elements are concerned, I talked about your title, questions, an overview of the solutions, touching on your credibility, your expertise, why it is that they should sign up, you know, who you are, what you know, what your personal story is. Doesn't need to be your whole story, but just enough for them to get a sense of how you relate to where they are and how you can help them with their particular problem. And then we talked about praise. So at that point, you have the opportunity to post your purchase options and basically give them an option, an opportunity to see, well, okay, I see that you've got all this stuff. I'm ready. Well, how much is this going to cost me? Right? So, you know, when it comes to sales copy and purchase options, you'll find I tend to provide people with at least two options. Okay. So one, I may provide them with, you know, a full payment versus a partial payment if it's a high price point offer. Or number two, if it's a low price point offer, let's say it's maybe like $97 or $197, I may provide them with different packages. Meaning, okay, let's say I'm doing a training course. You can get the full course and then you can get live sessions at one price point versus just getting the replays at another price point. One of the things that, you know, I'll talk about quite a bit, and you'll hear other marketers and sales entrepreneurs, when it comes to people who teach you sales anyway, talk about this concept of good, better, best. You know, there's going to be that person who wants the good price versus the better price versus the best price. They don't care, you know, what the price is. They just want everything that you have to offer. So one of the ways in which you can strategically get better at, you know, getting more people to buy your items is that within your sales copy, you provide them with various purchase options. Now, those are just a few examples, but, you know, certainly not the only ones that you have you have at your disposal. You kind of have to work with what works for you. And then you'll notice that throughout the process of sharing the purchase options, I'm very proactive about using call to action terms. So, you know, sign up now or get started today, grab your virtual seat, get instant access, so that, you know, that's going to motivate people to not just, you know, go, oh, this is great, I'll come back later, but sign up now. So you want to think about the terms that you're using as well. You know, now, get started today, grab this, instant access to that. Again, those terms will help kind of guide the person and motivate them to buy. Now, another thing that you'll, you know, on this topic of motivation, another thing worth keeping in mind are limitations. Right? Limitations and the cost of inaction. So even when it's a digital product, and essentially I could sell an unlimited number of digital products, I will always include some sort of limitation or scarcity factor as a way to motivate buyers to not say, okay, well, I'm going to come back later, but to buy then and now. Okay. So, some of those things, like I said, were, you know, proactive call to action words that will, as I mentioned, just a while ago, but also limitations. You know, I'm going to give maybe, 20, 15, 30 people an opportunity to sign up to this course. I tend to like to do intimate courses anyway, which is why, I tend to narrow down, a small number of people to do things with me live. Or you may find that I'll say, okay, well, the replays are going to be up. But you have to sign up to the replays now because, you know, within the next 7 days or 48 hours, you will no longer have the ability to get the replays. So different things that will motivate people to buy as far as limitations, could be time-based, could be quantity-based, you know, are very, very important. I liken it to watching the Home Shopping Network. If you've ever watched them operate and sell a product, they may have, you know, a camera, or they may have a piece of jewelry or a bag, and people are calling in, they're telling them how much they like the product. And as they're talking about the product, you're seeing literally the number of products go down on the screen. And so people have that, you know, that moment where they're like, oh my God, there are only two more of these left. I need to go and purchase. You know, and even you'll find on some websites, in addition to talking about the scarcity, either they'll show you like a timer, it's going away in X amount of time. Or they'll have like, you know, the number of, you know, on last update, there were five of these left. Now there are three of these left. So that, again, these key triggers in combination with the actual copy that you write will motivate people to take action sooner rather than later. Because we will find that the vast majority of people, unfortunately, will come and abandon your space. But in order for you to motivate more buyers than not to buy, all of these integral pieces work towards your benefit. You know, the psychology of sales is something that, as an entrepreneur, you have to be proactive about studying. You know, what motivates people to buy? What are the triggers? What are the terms? Things that we're talking about here in this particular audio, because all of these little pieces help you to one by one, click by click, get more people to, again, convert from browsers over to buyers. Okay. Now, it's also worth talking about the cost of inaction. So what does that mean? When I talked about you sharing your solutions on your sales page, not only are you going to give them the features, but you're going to talk about the benefits, right? So, you know, if you sign up to my brand magazine course, you'll walk away with your own 20-page branded magazine. So in addition to talking about benefits, you want to talk about the cost of inaction, right? So let's say, for example, you're in a position where you want to work on your sales copy, right? You want to get better at it when you want to get more people to buy your stuff. And I say to you, well, listen, a year from now, you are going to regret not taking action today. So if you don't get better at sales copy and you blink and it's a year from now, you're still doing the same things that weren't working for you before, you have cost yourself 12 months worth of potential sales. And that's something you certainly don't want to do. So how much is it going to cost you, you know, the price of this course versus 12 months in sales because you haven't made a change and really got proactive about improving your sales, improving your copy, okay? So you want to think about that. You know, are you making it clear to people, not just all your features and not just all your benefits, but the cost of inaction? What does that mean? One of the things that I say, you know, if you've ever looked at one of my sales pages for my Power Circle, when I do my workshops, I talk about for my community, the success of your business depends on the company that you keep. Are you in good company? You know, how much is your existing company helping you move forward, or holding you back? Okay. And that's something that's really important for me to share with my audience, because the cost of inaction is that if you don't sign up, you are not a part of the Power Circle. You don't have an opportunity to not just learn from the experts that I have in my circle, but to connect with them, potentially work with them, and then expand your business, your brand visibility, and your core partnerships in ways that you could never have imagined, right? And so that gets people excited, that gets them motivated, just kind of letting them know what you're missing out when you don't sign up. Right? So for example, if you have a product that's going to help me grow my hair 10 inches long, the cost of inaction is, you know, my hair may fall out and it's not quite where I want it to be, right? So you want to not only hit those pain points in the beginning when you talk about the questions or, you know, what the issues are for the problems for that particular person, but, you know, when you're rounding off the ending of your page, you know, the cost of inaction. And, you know, okay, well, listen, I've got 10 of these. So if you don't act today and they're all gone, when they're gone, they're gone. I don't know when they're coming back. So the cost of inaction is you missing out on an opportunity that would potentially or could potentially transform how you do business or how your life works, right? So thinking about, you know, different ways in which you can talk about the cost of inaction, very, very powerful. One of the things that I would tell people all the time is that opportunities expire, right? So if I've got this up here and it's going to be gone in 72 hours, if you miss that opportunity, that's it, right? So combining the cost of inaction with limitations and scarcity in your verbiage, you have the opportunity to motivate those people who are on the fence. Okay. So some people, they kind of know off the bat, no, it's not going to work for me. Other people, they know off the bat, oh my God, I don't even care what you said. You had me at hello, I'm buying now. Then you've got the people who are on the fence. And for those people, you've got different presser pain points. You've got different elements in your copy, whether it's the testimonials, the credibility, the solutions, the benefits, the call to action, the scarcity, all of these other elements are going to motivate the people who are on the fence to get that much closer to clicking that buy now and actually completing that process from going from a browser to a buyer. Okay. The more you tell, the more you sell. So now that I've talked about limitations, the last thing that I would recommend here is considering to include some sort of help or FAQ, okay? Doesn't need to be completely, you know, over the top, 15 frequently asked questions. Just needs to be sufficient enough so that if somebody is at your website and they have a question, there's a way to contact you, okay? So on my web pages, even on my sales pages, I use this awesome plugin. It's called SpeakPipe, SpeakPipe, SpeakPipe. SpeakPipe is a plugin that you can use. And you can either get the free version or the premium version, but I have installed it onto my WordPress websites, pretty much all of them. Can you use it on other sites? I believe you can, but I'm a big WordPress advocate, so that's the one that I tend to use it on. When you go to my landing pages, I can give you a couple of them to check out. So for example, the browser to buy your bootcamp over at bootcamp.sissasense.com, or the powercircleconference.com for my ongoing Power Circle events, or my fireandfocus.me landing pages. So those are three examples of three different landing pages, but you'll find that on the side, you see that little gray tab, that SpeakPipe button, very powerful. So essentially what SpeakPipe allows people to do is if they're on a particular page on my website, if they have a question, they can quickly and easily send me a voice message. Hey, LaShonda, I'm looking at your sales page. I didn't quite understand XYZ, wondering if you could kind of help me out here. That is your own personal your own personal 1-800 number, right? So just like people will call a company and ask them questions, it gives people an opportunity to talk to you. So there may be some people who are there on the fence and they walk away, but they don't quite just leave. They go, well, maybe if she can clarify XYZ, that'll motivate me to come back. So SpeakPipe is really one of those things that helps, as well as an FAQ. So perfect example of this, a lot of times I will do a webinar conference or a training and I will include the replays. Some people don't do that, by the way. Some people sell the replays separately. So people will always ask me, you know, when I sign up, am I going to get access to the replays? Or, you know, well, how long is this? Or, you know, what's your refund policy? So having just a really short FAQ just to kind of answer some of those common questions in combination with the SpeakPipe tab, again, it allows people an opportunity to alleviate some of the anxiety. Some people go, you know, this looks really great, but is this for real? Is this a scam? Is this a real person? And all of these little elements help to factor in that you're going to have 101 different kinds of people with 101 different kinds of personality coming to you. So you'll find that some people, they'll put like a money back guarantee on their website. And in my case, I'll clearly list what the payment policy is, and I'll give people an opportunity to interact with me, engage with me, leave me a voice message. And all of these things, again, will help people with that anxiety. Because when somebody's new to you, or they've been burned by one other person or one other company or one other event, you've got to take all of these different pieces into account. So whether you have some sort of money back guarantee or an easy way for people to get a refund, or an easy way for people to communicate with you if they have any questions or any anxieties around purchasing from you, that's going to, again, help you to motivate more people to convert from browsers into buyers on your space. Okay? So let's quickly recap here as far as essential elements that you want to have on your sales page. Your title, questions, solutions overview, then talk about your credibility and pay. Once you've talked about your credibility, go into more in more depth and more detail, the solutions, then praise, testimonials, what people are saying about you and all the awesomeness that you've created, purchase options. So you can give people the opportunity to good, better, best. If you only have one option, that's fine. But again, the more you tell, the more you sell, the more options, the more opportunities to reach different people at different price points. Of course, we're going to talk about the cost of inaction, limitations, scarcity. Those things are going to motivate people who are on the fence to take action sooner rather than later. And then some sort of help or FAQ, so that if people would like to talk to you or get a better sense of something that may be a little bit confusing to them, they have those options. Now, keep in mind that, you know, front and back, eyes closed or open, you know what you're selling, but other people may not. And even and our best attempts to be detailed and clear, there's always going to be that person that goes, wait, I didn't get that, or wait, did you put that, or wait, I missed that. So having other opportunities for them to check in with you, always, always, always a good thing. So when it comes to some do's and don'ts, I personally recommend at the end of the day, don't try to appeal to everybody. Right? Don't try to appeal to everybody. Focus on a specific person with a specific problem. Over the years, I've been able to create lots of different types of content, and I just kind of build onto my inventory as I go. You don't have to have that mega product that does everything for everybody. You know, I liken it to saying, you know, it slices, it dices, it julienne fries. It doesn't need to do all of those things all at once. You can consistently create new offers that have more things. You know, think about the iPhone, or you know when they come up with something on Apple, you know, every 6 months they have a new release because they're phasing in new features. They're not giving you all of it at once. So be smart about that, and that'll kind of give you some room to feel like I don't necessarily have to give them all at once. I can kind of create different offers to cater towards my audience. Okay. So don't try to appeal to everybody all at once. And for me, do try to be conversational. You know, so sometimes people will say, LaShonda, can you write my copy for me? And 9 times out of 10, I'll say no. I can review what you have and maybe tweak it a little bit, but I write in my own voice. You know, forgive me, love me or hate me. Sometimes my punctuation isn't perfect. Sometimes I may have a spelling error here or there, or I'll say, hey guys, oh my goodness, you press play, because I want the person to feel like they're literally sitting down talking to me. Right. I can be like, oh, listen, real talk, ... This is what I did. This is how, you know, I felt, because I like conversational copy. Now, that might not work for you if you're trying to have a certain type of professional feel, or you're trying to have a corporate look, or, you know, well, I do in my team and my company. You know, as an entrepreneur, I tend to stray away from the we's and the, you know, ours, and then focus on the me and the you. So me, Sister Sense, you, the potential person who is looking to learn from me, this is what I have to offer you. This is what you're going through. This is how I can connect to you. Again, I focus on me and you being a conversational person, more so than the we's and the hours. Cause you know, even I'll find some entrepreneurs in real talk, you can say yay or nay if this is something that is relevant to you. Sometimes people tend to like to use the we's and the hours because it makes their business sound grandiose, and larger than life, which I get. I mean, I can understand that. But I find for me, effective copy, especially as somebody who teaches, as an information entrepreneur, it's better when people feel like they get me, that I'm relatable, and they can talk to me, and I can reach back out to them, and make that deeper connection. A lot of times my clients, they don't want to feel like just another number. They don't want to talk to a robot. They want to finally get somebody who is going to relate to them and reach back out to them in the same way that they've reached out to me. Okay. So again, I'm talking about, content marketing, copywriting, not just kind of from a general perspective, but how I do it, and being conversational. Maybe I'll put a couple of exclamations and what's up here and there, or, just being comical whenever I can, because I find that that's engaging, conversational, personable, and not too sterile. I try not to talk at people, but rather talk to them. Right. Because, I'm somebody who is, I consider myself to be an expert as far as graphics, technology. I know that the people are coming to me. I don't want to sit and talk at them about PHP or, how you can create a website and use certain technical terms they may not have heard of. You know, when people come to me and they want to throw the technical terms, I can throw them right back. But for the general public, I like it to be simple, conversational, and clear. So they're not feeling like, oh my God, I can't work with this person because I have no idea what they're saying and they wouldn't know. And I don't want to, feel silly, talking to them at a level that's not quite at their level, right? So I want to be able to level the playing field by just being a real person and conversational. For me, that works really well with my copy. Okay. So I hope that makes sense for you. Like I said, if you are in a space where you currently have offers, I want you to just kind of take one offer and look at your sales page, look at the offer, look at the title, look at the question, look at the structure, to see if you're laying it out with some of these elements, and how you can potentially tweak what you have to make it a little bit better. Okay. Now, some other recommendations for you as you're trying to get better at copywriting and really boost your copywriting pro skills. One of the things I would recommend is being proactive about simply asking your audience what it is that they want. Right. So I do what I call my clarity calls with clients all the time. And I'll find a lot of times people get on calls with me and they'll say, well, Shonda, by the way, do you have a product that does this? Or do you have a training that talks about that? And I'm always mindful of those questions because that tells me they're willing to purchase another offer if I provide them with a specific type of information to help them with that problem. Sometimes people will say, well,
similar to this training. What motivated this training was, you know, people asking me, you know, LaShonda, can you tell me what you do to write copy? I want to write it like you. I love everything that you offer. You just have this way of getting me excited about buying. And I want to be able to get people excited about my offers. Can you talk about that? So one, you know, I have people proactively just letting me know what they want in my community. And I'm always mindful of taking note of those questions, because those are potentially the next things that I'm going to sell. But then those questions become the framework for my titles. So if, you know, you want to get, you know, better at copy, or if you want to create your own magazine, if you want to create your own brand CD, if you want to build a membership website, these become the compelling offers that I then sell, because those are the things that people are asking me for. So outside of just kind of being mindful of what your community is asking for, ask them. Ask them, say, you know what, let's say, for example, you're coming up with a new relationship book. You can simply say, you know, I'm in the process of writing a new book on, you know, relationships, on dating. I'd love to know what issues you have, what you're struggling with, what questions you have, so that as I'm writing, I'm in the writing process, I can integrate those questions. Or you can say, you know what, I'm coming up with a new training series online, and I'm going to show you how to use social media to become more visible. What are some things that you find hard with social media? What are you struggling with? You know, what questions do you have? When you can ask your audience, whether you send it to them via email, whether you ask, you know, when you're simply talking to somebody one-on-one or over the phone, or even just kind of putting it out on social media, whether it be through Facebook or Twitter, getting those responses allows you to get better at writing copy, because I take the exact same things that people say and integrate it into the questions. When people come to me and they say, you know what, LaShonda, I'm frustrated. I feel like I'm all over the place. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. You know, I want to get these things done. I just don't know how. I then turn those into questions. Do you feel like you're frustrated? Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels? Do you feel like you want to get things done and you don't know how? And then they go, oh my God, you're talking to me. Exactly, because those are the things you said to me. Those are the exact same things that you said to me. I integrated it into the copy. And so people will always say, are you reading my mind right now? Kind of. But really kind of based on the conversation we've had and the things that you've said to me. So you do want to be mindful of what people are looking for, mindful of what they're directly asking you for. But then also being proactive about asking them what they need, because that's going to help you get better at writing copy. So that's one of my biggest recommendations for you. Now, as I mentioned before, there are instances where you can check out one of my landing pages and say, well, you know, she doesn't have all of these elements, because again, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. These, you know, if you can put all of them in there, it's great. It definitely does help boost your opportunities to generate more sales. But then there are times you may go, some of this is a little bit extra. I don't need all of this. You know, you can use your judgment. But in those instances, I love to make sure that I've got a lot of pop and a whole lot of personality. So what you'll find on my pages is one, I believe pictures are worth 1,000 words. So I gave you an example of, you know, just me coming up with like a collage that represents, you know, what I've been able to accomplish. Or I may have photos of different people I've worked with. I may have videos. There are some landing pages over at, I believe it's SheRocksTheWeb.com. I have video testimonials from people who have worked with me over on PrettyProfessionalWebsites.com. I have written testimonials of people who have worked with me, but I love pop and personality. So photos from me go a long way. Video goes a long way, and audio. You know, I'll tend to, like, when I do my sales pages, I'll go, hey, you press play. Thanks so much. It's LaShonda Henry here, aka Sister Sense, and I help you make sense of making money online. And so it's kind of like, oh, she's talking to me, because that person pressed play, and I want to engage them, right? So it's like, well, you know, or you may say something like, oh, well, I know that you're looking to, you know, grow your hair because you pressed this video. So I'm certain, I know, I may not know your name, but I know that you're interested in ... just because you pressed this video. So, all right, let me talk about that, right? So me popping personality goes a long way. Just kind of thinking about how I can engage via video and audio, so the person literally feels like we're sitting together, we're having a conversation. That works you know, that comes with time. Like I said, I was a shy entrepreneur. And honestly, at the end of the day, for me, perfection comes in the process. And I've been doing this for many a year. I think I've been doing YouTube videos for, I don't know, maybe about 6 or 7 years at this point. And my first ones, I was really shy and kind of timid. But for me, again, perfection comes in the process. And the same holds true with copywriting. The more you do it, the more you tweak it, the more you learn from your mistakes, the better you will get at it. So when you can, integrate some great photos of yourself or, you know, where you've come from, of people you've worked with. If you've got video testimonials, great. If you've got photos from clients, great. If you can create a video or an audio, great. Again, the more you tell, the more you sell. With respect to video and audio, I have a ton of trainings on that. So we can certainly talk about how you can create video and audio outside of what we're talking about today. But again, having that extra pop and personality definitely does go a long way. You'll notice that for the most part with my landing pages, I try to be consistent as far as the photos that I use. I always use high quality stock photos. Either, you know, if I'm not using personal photos of myself or my clients, I'm getting stock photos from places like BigStockPhoto.com or DollarPhotoClub.com. I used to use iStockPhoto.com quite a bit back in the day, but I don't use them as much anymore. So Big Stock Photo and Dollar Photo Club, those are kind of like my go-to. They change. They change every now and again. But you want to make sure that your website pops. You know, you've got quality images. They're not fuzzy. They're not grainy. And they really are crisp. So that outside of you literally speaking via the words that you put on your page, your rich media content speaks to your audience as well. Again, pop and personality goes a long way when it comes to complimenting your copy. Okay. Another thing to keep in mind that I personally love, and you, if you've ever bought anything from me, you know that I love, love, love bonuses, fast action rewards. So I reward people for signing up to my offers. I'm always trying to kind of think about for myself, and if I'm going to share an offer with you, what can I add on to it to make it even better? So killer offers from me, it's kind of like the best bang for your buck, but also, you know, I tend to over deliver. I'm a triple X kind of a girl. You know, I tend to be a little bit extra, but it definitely does help me because people go, you know, this is just way more than, you know, I could ever have imagined. It's worth the price above and beyond. So, you know, if you're somebody who's starting out, you may not have a lot of stuff that you can add on as bonuses. But for me, if you've done this for a while, just being conscious of the fact that you can complement your existing offer with other things. And it doesn't necessarily have to be forever. It could be, for example, you say, okay, well, I'm doing a landing page for my new book. And, you know, when you buy the book, I'm also going to give you an autographed copy of my magazine, or you purchase the book and I'm going to give you a 20-minute consultation, or I'm also going to send you my CD with that as well. So when you're the first 10 or the first 20, the reward is that you're going to get something in addition to that particular offer. You know, fast action rewards can definitely help to motivate people, again, converting them from browsers to buyers. Okay. Now, the last thing I said to you, I said, you know what, we're going to talk about the essentials today. We're going to talk about some do's and don'ts, some resources and recommendations, and then one killer tip, one awesome killer tip that's going to help you get better at writing copy like the pros, okay? Now, this tip is actually twofold, right? This is a twofold tip. One thing that you can do to get better at writing copy like the pros is to see how the pros write. One of my favorite websites is copyblogger.com, a collaboration of professional copywriters and online marketers telling you the best strategies that you can utilize to write copy. Again, that's copyblogger.com. You want to write like the pros? Learn from them. That's number one. Number two, you want to write like the pros? Do exactly what they do, okay? So one of my favorite strategies, it's called swipe files.
right? So how it works is I have signed up to lots of different people, lots of different entrepreneurs, different marketers. Some of them I've purchased products from. Some of them I just kind of love watching them, reading their stuff, you know, going to their website, looking at them on videos, things of that nature. But I've opted into their different emails. And then when I see great subject headers, I put them in my swipe file. So I literally have an email folder on my in my email, in my inbox that is for great subject headers, great sales copy. So again, you know, when you see copy and keep in mind, you know, you've got thousands of messages come bombarding your inbox on a monthly basis. When something just kind of has you stop in your track and you go, wow, that's pretty interesting, it's worth taking note of, because sometimes those subject headers or the structure of their copy can give you a sense of, you know, if this was interesting to you, it may potentially, the style of it, the look of it, or even just kind of what they said, you know, in the message itself. You know, I'll love to send out emails like, you know, what are you doing right now? Or, you know, can we talk? You know, have you had an opportunity to take a look at XYZ, right? So then once they open that can we talk letter, well, okay, you know, I just kind of want to make sure if you've seen this already, or if you haven't, take a look. Or, you know, when I see emails that go gone in 48 hours or flash sale, things that really kind of go, what's that about? Kind of pique curiosity. I put them in my swipe file because, again, if you are looking at people who are creating great engaging copy, the best way you can get better at copy is to emulate their strategy. And it's funny, but trust me, it works. It can definitely help you, especially when you go, well, I don't know what subject headers to write. I don't know how to title things. I don't know, you know, what to say in my message, or, you know, how to phrase. Again, once you get into this process, you'll find that a lot of these strategies are simply rinse and repeat. And as you get into a space where you find the strategies that work well for you, again, you'll just start to reuse them on an ongoing basis. Okay. So that's my biggest recommendation, you know, as far as, you know, getting into a space where you can get better at writing killer copy like the pros. You want to be able to emulate them. So definitely sign up to copyblogger.com. Be mindful of, you know, the entrepreneurs, the marketers, the, you know, online copy sales gurus out there that you like, so that you can stay connected with them and not just kind of take advantage of their offers, but glean from their marketing style. The best of what they do can potentially help you get better at your ability to sell online. And like I said, that swipe file is just a great place to go back to. You know, I may sometimes go, you know what, you know, I want to do something, but my brain is kind of not working as well as I would like it to. You know, I want some new ideas. I want some new kind of topics or titles. And then I'll go into that folder and just kind of have that snap of, oh, wow, that sounded good. Or I like the way this person phrased that. Just kind of a good way to kind of get my creative juices flowing as well. Okay. So I hope that you have enjoyed my Copywriting Pro audio guide. I certainly want to make sure that I'm sharing with you all that I know about this process and the things that I've been able to do. Like I say, at the end of the day, perfection comes in the process of you just kind of working on this as you go, getting better at it, and engaging. You know, if you find that your copy still isn't quite where it needs to be, you know, perhaps you work with me or another individual that can kind of take a look and see what it is that you're doing. You know, to some degree, I would say you can